Grace and mercy, peace and confidence are yours from the God of heaven, the God who graciously gave to us his holy inspired word. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are certain professions whose job description inherently includes the responsibility of sharing with someone bad news. Take doctors, for example. A doctor may call someone into the office and say, "The test results came back, and I'm afraid I have bad news." Take teachers, for example. A teacher may have to tell one of their students that they failed the exam, or they may have to tell the parents that their child has failed the grade and they have to take that grade over. Or take loan officers, for example. A loan officer may have to tell a couple that they did not qualify for that home mortgage that they so dearly were hoping to get. Yes, my friends, there are indeed certain professions whose job description inherently includes the responsibility of sharing bad news with people. Our sermon text for today reminds us of yet another profession whose job description includes the responsibility of sharing bad news with people. Today, as you and I continue our sermon series entitled Get Ready for Easter, let's see how God the Holy Spirit uses the example of the prophet Jeremiah to say to you and to say to me, proclaim the Lord's message fearlessly. Jeremiah served as a prophet of the Lord both before and after the Babylonians had completely destroyed the beloved city of Jerusalem, including the temple of the Lord God himself. But as you may remember, when the Lord first came to Jeremiah to call him to be God's prophet, someone who would proclaim God's word to God's people, Jeremiah did not want to do it. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we hear this conversation take place. "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Now, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." By the time the event recorded here in our text for today had taken place, Jeremiah had been fearlessly proclaiming the message of the Lord to the people of God for 20 years, 20 long years. And what was the essence of the message that the Lord gave to Jeremiah to proclaim to God's people? It was predominantly a very strong message of law. Over and over again, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the form of a warning for God's people. Because of your sin, because of your rebellious ways, because of your unfaithfulness to me and to the covenant I established with you and your ancestors, I am going to withdraw my blessings from you and pour out my justice upon you. But what did that mean, specifically, for the people of Judah and for the people of Jerusalem? The Lord himself answers that question in the verses that lead up to our text for this morning. We're told, "Say to them, 'This is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house, that is the temple of the Lord, like Shiloh, empty and deserted, and this city, the beloved city of Jerusalem, an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth." The fact that Jeremiah spoke this message of the Lord fearlessly in the temple of the Lord, surrounded by the priests and the prophets and all of the people who were there in the temple, well, let's just say that it did not go over very well. That's why they seized Jeremiah and screamed at him, "You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted?" This ruckus that was taking place in the temple of the Lord ultimately got to a point where it caught the attention of the royal officials of Judah. And so we're told that when the royal officials came into the temple and took their seats in the new gate of the Lord's temple, the prophets, the priests, and the people there in the temple continued to bring their accusations against Jeremiah. "He must die," they said. "Once again, he has prophesied against this holy city of Jerusalem. Once again, he has prophesied against the holy temple of the Lord our God. He must die." What was Jeremiah's response to the accusations that they were bringing against him? Jeremiah continued to proclaim the message of the Lord fearlessly. "You can kill the messenger," Jeremiah said, "but that will not change the message that the Lord himself has sent me to proclaim to you. Unless you repent, unless you change your ways, unless you turn back to the Lord and remain faithful to me, everything that I have said will most certainly come true." And then Jeremiah said something that was extremely pointed, especially for these people in this culture at this time. Look at what Jeremiah says in the closing verses of our text. "As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves, on the city, and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." Note, my friends, that Jeremiah was not afraid of the people who were calling out, "You must die." Jeremiah trusted that his life, and especially his eternity, were safe in the hands of the Lord his God. At the same time, Jeremiah fearlessly warned the prophets and the priests, the people and the royal officials of Judah, that if they put him to death, they would end up bringing the guilt of shedding innocent blood upon themselves. The one thing, my friends, that ultimately overwhelmed Judas with remorse. We read in Matthew chapter 27, "When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I have betrayed innocent blood.'" Now, how does this text apply to you and to your lives as the children of God today? How does the example of Jeremiah help you to get ready for Easter? If we were to answer that question in very broad and general terms, we are reminded of the fact that, like God's people of old, wherever and whenever we fearlessly proclaim the message that the Lord himself has given to us, we should not be surprised when the reaction that we receive is very negative and sometimes even hostile. The long line of Christian martyrs down through the ages is a very good example of that. And yet, like those martyrs, we also need to make sure that we proclaim the Lord's message fearlessly. If we were to answer that question a little more specifically, then we are reminded of the negative response that we often receive when we try to point out to people today that what they believe, teach, and confess concerning those moral issues and those social issues that are such a part of the fabric of our discussion today are wrong. They're not only wrong, but they're unacceptable to the one who will one day judge them on the basis of God's holy, inspired word. Well, that does indeed remind us to proclaim the Lord's message fearlessly. We might still be wondering, how does this example of Jeremiah help us to get ready for Easter? So how does it help us get ready, my friends? The example of Jeremiah reminds us that as we proclaim the Lord's message concerning Easter, we cannot separate the message of Easter from the message of Good Friday. There are 2 points I want to emphasize here. First, as I was studying our text for this morning, and as I listened to the prophets and the priests and the people cry out concerning Jeremiah, he must die. I couldn't help but remember the words that our Savior spoke to us in our gospel lesson for today. I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. Throughout his entire public ministry, Jesus fearlessly proclaimed the message of the Lord, both law as well as gospel. Throughout his entire public ministry, the reaction that Jesus received for proclaiming the message of the Lord was indeed one of hostility and sometimes even violence. But did that stop Jesus from proclaiming the message that the Lord had given to him? Not at all. Even as Jesus was proclaiming this message, we know that he received a negative reaction not only from the ordinary people, but especially from the religious leaders of God's people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law. And when these religious leaders of God's people ultimately got what they had been wanting for a very long time, when they ultimately turned the crowd against Jesus and led them to cry out, "Away with this man, crucify him, crucify him," to the point that Pontius Pilate finally gave in to them and sentenced an innocent man to be nailed to the cross. Did Jesus change the message that he was fearlessly proclaiming? Not at all, my friends. Even as he hung suffering and dying on the cross to pay for our sins, Jesus fearlessly proclaimed the message of God's forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And he fearlessly proclaimed the Lord's message of eternal life in the paradise of God. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. That brings me to the second point I wanted to emphasize here. We need to be very, very clear in our own hearts and in our own minds that Easter is God's guarantee to us that the sacrifice which the Son of God made on the cross of Calvary's Hill was indeed accepted. It was accepted by the Heavenly Father as full payment for all of our sins. We need to be even more clear about this when we are sharing the Lord's message of Easter with others. There are so many people today, my friends, who simply do not understand that the message of Easter is inseparably entwined with the message of Good Friday. Easter is not just a spring festival that happens to be celebrated within the church. Easter is certainly not about bunny rabbits and candy eggs. Easter is the very foundation of everything that we believe. Easter is the very foundation of everything that we as Christians are hoping for on the other side of the grave. The Apostle Paul brings out this truth very clearly when he writes to the Corinthian Christians, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied, pitied more than all men." So how can we take all of this and use it to help us get ready for Easter? Let me suggest this. For the next 5 weeks, consciously look and listen for any opportunity you have to bring up the message of Easter when you are talking with people so that you can share with them the Lord's message concerning Easter. Proclaim to them that Easter is proof that Jesus is who he claims to be, this world's only Savior from sin. Proclaim to them that Easter is God's guarantee that all of their sins are forgiven as well. Proclaim to them that Easter assures us that through faith in the risen Christ, we too shall one day physically rise from our graves to enjoy the glory and the perfection of God's heavenly home forever. Will some people laugh at us? Probably so. Will some people have a negative reaction to the message that we are sharing? Probably so. Will some people listen and take to heart the Lord's message concerning Easter? God willing, they will. While there are indeed certain professions whose job description includes the responsibility of sharing bad news with people, that does not mean that everyone in those professions never has an opportunity to share good news with people. The doctor may call someone into the office and say, "Yes, the test results reveal that you need to have surgery, but your condition is very, very curable." The teacher may have to inform a student that they did indeed fail that test, but here are some extra credit things they can do to still pass the course. That loan officer may have to tell someone that they did not qualify for that home mortgage, but if they do this and this and bring their credit score up to this, then the next time they apply, they will indeed be accepted. And as faithful proclaimers of God's holy word, once we have used the power of God's holy law to show someone their sin and lead them to repentance, then we lead them to the foot of the cross on Calvary's hill. From there, we point them to the empty grave in the garden, and we proclaim to them the good news that through faith in Jesus Christ, eternal life in heaven is theirs as a free gift from God. So consciously strive to get ready for Easter, my friends, by consciously striving to follow the example of Jeremiah here in our text. Proclaim the Lord's message fearlessly. To God be the glory. Amen.